Amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning. And well, that ought to be our prayer, as that was David's prayer in Psalm chapter 51. And it ought to be our prayer as well. What a difference that would make. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you look with me to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 22, Jeremiah chapter 22, we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 9 this morning. Jeremiah chapter 22. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 1, "Thus saith the Lord, go down to the house of the king of Judah and speak there this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, O king of Judah, that sitteth upon the throne of David, thou and thy servants and thy people that enter in by these gates. Thus saith the Lord, execute ye judgment and righteousness, and deliver the spoiled out of the land, out of the hand of the oppressor, and do no wrong, do no violence to the stranger, the fatherless, nor the widow, neither shed innocent blood in this place. For if ye do this thing indeed, then shall there enter in by the gates of this house kings sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, he and his servants and his people. But if ye will not hear these words, I swear by myself, saith the Lord, that this house shall become a desolation. For thus saith the Lord unto the king's house of Judah, thou art Gilead unto me, and the head of Lebanon. Yet surely I will make thee a wilderness, and cities which are not inhabited. And I will prepare destroyers against thee, every one with his weapons, and they shall cut down thy choice cedars and cast them into the fire. And many nations shall pass by this city, and they shall say every man to his neighbor, wherefore hath the Lord done thus unto this great city? Then they shall answer, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord their God, and worshiped other gods, and served them." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you once again, what a blessing it's already been just being in this place. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the messages of song that we've already heard and been ministered by. But now, Father, as we open up your word, I know the importance of the preaching of the very words of God and how important it is for everyone here to receive what you have for them. And so I pray, God, that you would meet with us in a very special way and speak to each one. I pray that you would, Lord, use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Babylon is ready to invade and take Judah into captivity, as what had been being prophesied by Jeremiah for some time now. He had been warning King Zedekiah and all the inhabitants of Judah that if they had not turned back to God, that God was going to judge and he was going to take them into Babylonian captivity. Well, it's chapter 22, and it's now about to happen. Zedekiah sees the handwriting on the wall, if you will, and he realizes what Jeremiah had been preaching all along was true, and they were going to be invaded by Babylon. In chapter 21, we find the first two verses that Zedekiah seeks help from Jeremiah at this time. The Bible says, "The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord," just chapter 21, verse 1, "when King Zedekiah sent unto him," he sent to Jeremiah, "Pashur the son of Melchiah and Zephaniah the son of Maaseiah, the priest, saying, inquire, I pray thee, of the Lord for us. For Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, maketh war against us, if so be that the Lord will deal with us according to all his wondrous works, that he may go up from us." Now, again, we find that this is what Jeremiah had been warning all along, and they had been mocking and ridiculing Jeremiah. There was not one convert underneath Jeremiah's ministry. But here in verse chapter 22, our text that we have read this morning, God allows Jeremiah to give them one last chance. basically in chapter 22, that's what it is. God reveals to Jeremiah, go to the king Zedekiah and to the people of Judah and give them one last chance. It was always God's will for Judah to repent and turn back to God, but they had not done so. And now, I mean, they're on the threshold of Babylonian captivity. And God still, even at the very end, would give them one last chance. First of all, we find in verse 2, in giving them one last chance, he says, hear the word of the Lord. That's what Jeremiah was supposed to tell the people. He said, if you're looking for one last chance, if you're looking for God's help, the first and foremost, what you need to do is hear the word of the Lord. Jeremiah was a messenger. I don't know if they had been listening to Jeremiah or seeing Jeremiah as just some kind of a lunatic or some kind of a wild man preacher or whatever it might have been, but they had not taken him seriously. He had been preaching and teaching all along that God's judgment was coming upon Judah. They even had Israel, the 10 tribes, the northern kingdom that had already been taken into Assyrian captivity. They had them to look to, and Jeremiah is preaching and he's telling them this is going to happen to Judah. It's going to happen to these two tribes of Israel. And yet they wouldn't listen until it was evident that King Nebuchadnezzar was on his way. And he is going to attack them. And he's going to plunder their cities and he's going to take them into captivity. And even at this somewhat midnight hour, then Jeremiah is approached by the king's messengers, and they said, the king wants you to ask God to intervene. And so God allows it, and he says, hear the word of the Lord. See, it was God's message all along that needed to be heard. Some people turn away from preachers, and they turn away from the Baptist, and they turn away from biblical doctrine because they just think it's philosophy or your religion or your thoughts. If you was here in Sunday morning Sunday school, how important it is to understand that we need to base our beliefs on truth. And as we have the truth, and if you're saved here this morning, you have the truth. And if you know the Bible, then you have what the world needs to know. You have the truth of God. And what the world needs is for the believers, those who know the truth, to stand up and help others to know the truth. We are ambassadors for Christ. We're witnesses, and we've been given the Great Commission, and everyone that can hear needs to hear. And we that have the truth are the ones that need to be speaking the truth to all people, no matter who they might be. Anyone that would hear, anyone that you have the ear of, you need to be able to help them to know the truth, not because that's what you, it's not your thoughts, but it's God's thoughts. Not just because it's the way you were raised and you don't need to, we don't want to make everybody Baptist because we're Baptist. We want everyone to know the truth. And the truth from the Bible will make you Baptist. But it's not the Baptist that we're trying to promote. We are trying to promote and present the truths of the Bible to all people. And so Jeremiah comes back and God tells him, let them know that it has not been just your message all along, Jeremiah. But Jeremiah is to help them to understand all along it's been God's word. And now it's reality. You see it about to come to pass, exactly what I've been preaching all along. If you truly believe that there is a God, you ought to want to hear from him. Come to church. You shouldn't want to hear what you want to hear. People will try to find a church that will say what they want them to say. It goes along with my philosophy, goes along with my standards, goes along with how I want to live my life. And can I tell you, there is a church out there that will tell you exactly what you want to hear. It's not the truth. We know that there is a God. If there is a God and we know there to be a creator God, then we ought to want to hear what he has to say. Yeah, hear from him. That's what God tells him to tell him. One last chance. Listen to God's words. And then consider your options. Verse 3, he says, thus saith the Lord, execute ye judgment and righteousness. and deliver the spoiled out of the hand of the oppressor, and do no wrong, do no violence to the stranger, the fatherless, nor the widows, neither shed innocent blood in this place. What God established by the laws that they were to live by, if you will, consider your options. You can do what God says to do. This idea of execute ye judgments and righteousness, that word execute means to carry out, to follow a plan or order. God does everything decently in an order. God has a design for everything. It's the DNA of God. You see, if it's of God, it has an order to it. It has a purpose to it. It has a design. And when we're listening to God, we want to know God's design. When we're looking to God, we also want to know God's order of things. And as we have God's order of things, if we would just do what God says to do, then we can have deliverance. If we will just live as God would have us to live, then we have the presence of God. God promises to bless His word. God has never promised to bless what I do and what you do. God promises to bless His word and His ways. And if we are living according to God's will and His ways, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and that are called according to His purpose, if you love God, you'll be serving God. If you're called according to His purpose, you're going to be living as God would have you to live. So here again, Jeremiah, now maybe they have more of the ear of the people. And he says, first of all, hear the word of the Lord and then consider your options. It's all about you making the right choice. It has always been about God's people making the right decisions. You can do what God says to do. Live for God or not. In verse 5, he says, but if you will not hear these words, I swear by myself, saith the Lord, that this house shall become a desolation. God outlines what would bring his judgment. In verse 9, he says, then they shall answer, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord their God. That's what they had done. They had made a covenant with God to live by the commandments, to live by the laws of God that He had established. They had turned away from that. They're following after Baal. They're following after other gods and other religions and other ways of life. That's what brought God's judgment down upon them. That's why God has raised up a Babylon to come in and to take them captive. You can turn away from God's word and follow other gods, or follow another philosophy of life. That's your options. Consider your options. You can do what God says, or not. Can I tell you that everyone will choose? And the Bible says that all will give an account for their individual choices. In Romans chapter 14, verse 12, everyone shall give an account for themselves. You'll not give an account for what anyone else chooses, but you will give an account for your choices. That's a free will. There's a free will as a blessing. Amen. But there's consequences to having a free will. It's accountability. Amen. Sometimes in my younger years when I was battling a lot of temptations, a lot of things going on, and even today, sometimes when I'm battling certain things, I think, God, don't give me a choice, just force me to do it. Amen. I want to do right, but the old flesh and my mind and sometimes the temptation, it's hard. God, do not allow me to make a mistake. Do not allow me to make a wrong decision. God, I'd love for you just to force me, just to make it for me, but God will not. Because if He made it for us, then He could not hold us accountable. If we were robots, there would be no accountability to a free will. But because He's given us a free will, we choose. And because we have a choice, there is an accountability. Everyone will choose. So hear the word of the Lord. God's word. It's what God says. Consider your options. This morning, no matter what's going on, hear what God says, and then you're going to choose. You've made a choice either to believe and apply or not to believe and live however you want. You have options. But this one thing, understanding you have options, consider your options, but understand that God sees, in this situation, God sees two futures. God sees two futures for Israel. God sees if they choose His way, then verse 4. If you do these things, this thing indeed, then shall there enter in by the gates of this house, kings sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, he and his servants and his people. God says, I see the future. Jeremiah is preaching to them God's word, and he says, God says, hear the word, make a choice. If you make the right choice, if you make the choice that God says to make, then this is what God sees in your future. Israel with strong kings. Israel with a military might that's second to none. A powerful nation. And a blessed people. God saw that in the future if they would have simply made the right choice. And he says there's another future that God sees. Verse 6 and 7. For thus saith the Lord unto the king's house of Judah, thou art Gilead unto me and the head of Lebanon. Yet, he says, I love you. You are very close to my heart. You're as Gilead to me. And you're as unto me the head of Lebanon. Even though I love you, even though you're close to my heart, yet surely I will make thee a wilderness and cities which are not inhabited. For I will prepare destroyers against thee, everyone with his weapons, and they shall cut down thy choice cedars and cast them into the fire. See, Jeremiah is saying to the people, all right, God tells me that he sees two futures. And whatever the future is going to be, it will be determined by the decisions you make right now. If you make the decision that God wants you to make, can I tell you, there's blessings ahead. There is a powerful nation ahead. There is a blessing of kings sitting on the throne of David. But if not, there's another future. Israel becoming desolate. The people taken into captivity. And their land ravished. Two possibilities. You know, God doesn't change his mind. It's not that God says, all right, I'm going to bless Israel, and then no, I'm going to change my mind. I'm not going to bless Israel. I love the choir, what they sang earlier. The immutability of God. I change not. God never changes his mind. But throughout the scriptures, you'll hear these words, and God repented. Now, if we understand repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of life. But that's not the case with God. Genesis chapter 6, go back there with me. He's telling Israel, I see two futures. And there would have been. They could have had either one. But it would not be based on God changing his mind. It would be based on God dealing with their choices. In Genesis, in chapter 6, in verse 6 and 7, before God destroyed the world and humanity with the flood, verse 5 it says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That was not how God designed it. God created man in his own image, his own likeness. He created him with a free will, but he created him to choose God. And if he had chose God, then he would have lived righteously and godly. But God saw the wickedness of man. Every imagination of thought of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. You say, well, that means that God changed his mind. No. God made man to be a blessing and to be blessed. God made man in his own image and after his own likeness so he could fellowship with man. Mankind was created for God's fellowship, for God's pleasures. He didn't create him a robot. He created him with the free will, and his desire was for him to choose. And he gave him every opportunity, every option to choose. And God's plan was, when he chooses me, then I will bless man, and man will be a blessing. But if man chooses not, then it's already written down, I will judge man. It's not that God repented and that he changed his mind. He waited to see what man was going to do and the choices that man made. And when the choices of man was continually evil and there was no chance of repentance, there was no sight of man ever turning back to God, God says, I cannot bless that. I have to judge that. Even though I love humanity, I created them after myself to fellowship with them and enjoy them. But because of their decisions of life, I cannot bless them. I must destroy mankind off the face of the earth. And all of his blessings were focused on the one man and the one family that was doing what God created them to do. And that was Noah and his family. And so God did to Noah what he wanted to do to all humanity. He preserved them and blessed them. But to those who chose to turn away from God, there's two futures. Noah had the one future. The rest of the world had the second future based on their choices for life. God sees at least two futures for all of us. I want to ask you this morning, can you see your future if you continue in the direction you're going today? God sees it. I was saved when I was 8 years old, and I remember my early teens starting to rebel somewhat, and I remember getting in the wrong crowd, and I was thinking, I was about 15, and I was thinking then, I said, when I turn 16, I was making a lot of money even when I was 13 years old. I was managing Tibbs Drive-In Theater way back when I was almost 16, because my brother had been a manager there, and he quit because they wouldn't give him enough money. They wouldn't give him a raise. Well, I knew it better than anyone else, and they hired me to manage that. Before I was 16 years old, I was managing that. Now, it wasn't really me as much as it was my brother back there who who had trained me, but they didn't have anybody else, and I was making all kinds of money before I ever turned 16 years old. And in my mind, I thought, you know, who needs school? Who needs an education when I'm the manager of this drive-in theater here, and I'm making all this kind of money, who needs education? And I thought, when I turn 16, I'm done with school. And I remember being with a group of people, and there was one family where all of the teenagers thought that their parents were something else because they were providing alcohol for any of the kids that wanted it. And I remember sitting there out on the front porch, and it was filthy. They had little children, little toddlers running around with dirty diapers. And the Lord spoke to me, not an audible voice, but inside my heart and my spirit. And he says, is this what you want for your future? If you keep thinking the way that you're thinking, if you go through with that not thinking that you need an education, this is going to be your future someday, and you'll be living just like this. As clear as, I mean, I'm standing here this morning, God spoke to me about that. And I committed myself to getting education and to working hard. Later on in life, when I was early in my 20s there, a couple weeks ago, I mentioned a few different things that God had done in my life, but I was running from the call of the Lord to ministry. And God revealed to me, it was two times in my life, right, that He has revealed my future to me and says, you have options. This is your future if you go this way. This is your future if you don't. And I remember, and I won't go into detail, but I remember vividly understanding God saying, this is your future. If you keep running from me, you're going to be put in a grave. And I knew beyond the shadow of a doubt, if I continued to run from God, that He would take my life. He made that very evident to me. And at that moment, at that time, I chose to surrender to God's call upon my life, whatever it was at that time. And God saw me here. Yeah. Some 40 years ago, God would have saw me right here today. But I wouldn't have got here if I'd have made the other decisions. Can you see your future? As a pastor, God gives me insight and counseling. The insight comes strictly from His Word, not from my mind or not from my, you know, being superior to anybody else, but just from the knowledge of God's Word and the position that He's given to me as a pastor. God has allowed me to see the future of others. And I've sat down with some people over the last, I've been in the ministry now for some 36 years. And I've sat down across the table from some that I knew exactly what would happen if they continued the way they were going. And knowing that, seeing their future, I would try to help them with the Word of God. And some of them that have listened, I've seen how that they brought two that were getting ready to have a divorce back together into a strong marital relationship. And several of those families are sitting in this auditorium this morning. They sit across from me and said, preacher, don't love her anymore, don't love him anymore, going to get a divorce. And I could see the future of how it would affect their lives as well as other people's lives, those that had children, their children's lives. And by being able to see that and understanding that, and one of the things I would tell them, what the decision you're making right now is going to affect generations to follow. You have to understand, this is bigger than you right now. This is bigger than your feelings right now. This is going to affect generations to follow. And getting them to see that, to understand, there's two futures out here. The future of you getting a divorce and seeing your children affected by that and their children affected by that and then having several different sets of families and on. Or make the right choice and stay committed to marriage that God has put you together with and see how that impacts your future. Two futures. And I've seen those that have listened to the counsel of God's Word. And I've experienced that today. It's one of the joys and the blessings of pastoring and staying in the same church for so long. I know how I've counseled them years back and where they're at today, and I'm praising God. But it's not because of me. It's because of their making the right decisions. All I was the messenger. I was just the Jeremiah speaking to the king of Judah saying, there's two futures. But it saddens my heart today. Because I've sat across from some that didn't take the counsel. They didn't get the positive future. They've gotten divorced, and I've seen what it's done to their families. I've seen what it's done to them. Now Satan's got the victory. I've seen how that teenagers who wanted their way and the parents gave them their way went opposite the council and even left the church to go to a church where they could do whatever they wanted to do. And I've seen their children, their girls, become pregnant out of wedlock. And I've seen their sons taken into drugs and alcohol. I don't say, I told you so. Now my heart breaks. I'm saying God gave you an opportunity, but you wouldn't take heed to the counsel of God's word. What I'm saying is, I think there are possibly multiple futures out there for everyone here today. And God sees them all. And they won't be based on God changing his mind. It'll be based on the decisions you make and the decisions I make. And based on those decisions, God says, there's a future for that. And I see it. I see where it's going to head, where it's going to lead to. One last chance. Do you see what God sees? One last chance before it's too late and the Chaldeans are knocking on your door and coming in and raping your wives and taking your children and killing the men, destroying the houses and destroying the land and making the land desolate. One last chance. It's coming from the Word of God. You have a choice to make. Do you see the future that God sees? In closing, 2 Kings chapter 25. Based on the decision they made, this was their future. 2 Kings chapter 25. Jeremiah's had revealed it to him. What God says, if you do this, and what God says, your future will be if you do that. In 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 6. So they took the king, Nebuchadnezzar, the Chaldeans. So they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon, to Riblah, and they gave judgment upon him. And they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. The future. Because he didn't turn to God, didn't make the right choices. Now he's having to see his own sons being killed right before his eyes. They slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes and put out the eyes of Zedekiah and bound him with fetters of brass and carried him to Babylon. And in the fifth month, on the seventh day of the month, which is the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, a servant of the king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem. And he burnt the house of the Lord and the king's house and all the houses of Jerusalem. And every great man's house burnt he with fire. Desolation, God said, how he'd leave the land. And all the army of the Chaldeans that were with the captain of the guard, break down the walls of Jerusalem round about. The future God sees will come to pass. And God sees a future for all of us. It's just not one. There's multiple views. There's multiple futures. But every one will be determined by the decisions we make individually. Can we see our future? Are you thriving for the future that you desire? You need to make the right choices. This morning, there's a future in hell that God sees for everyone who rejects Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. Not that God wants it. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God sent his Son to die for the whole world. For God so loved the world, that's all humanity, that he sent his only begotten Son to die for you. It's not God's will that you die and go to a devil's hell, but that is your future if you deny Jesus Christ, if you turn away from the gift that he wants to give you, a gift of everlasting life. Do you see the future that God sees? Make the right decision. This morning, make the right decisions. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Multiple futures, but God sees them all. Decisions we make today will impact generations to follow. What is it that's going on in your life? What is it right now that the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to you about concerning a decision that you have yet to make? Make the one God wants you to. Choose right. Choose right. Father, we bow before you now. And we love you, Lord, and thank you for what we've already received and being in church today. And God, right now, it's an invitation time, and we know it's a time for us to make decisions based upon what you have said to us and spoken to us about. And I pray if there's anyone here that's lost and on the way to a devil's hell, that they would see that right now and come to this altar. Let somebody take a Bible and show them what they need to do to be saved today. Whatever decisions need to be made, God, help us to make the right ones. Work in our midst this morning. In Jesus' name we pray.